And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham all the way to up north of Huntsville. We got Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, before we go any further, I got to tell you guys, so my friends at the law firm of Riley and Jackson, they have been just kicking it right now. They got several things going right now that are there to actually benefit veterans. You may have heard about the Camp Lejeune water contamination cases. Well, like 19 different illnesses, they tell me, have been attributed to a confirmed water contamination that went on for decades at Camp Lejeune. So if you were stationed there, if you were there on training, if you were there for TDY, if you were a dependent, not just a service member, but actually a dependent, at Camp Lejeune, anywhere between 1953 and 1987, you may qualify for a claim. Here's the other one they're working on. If you're a firefighter, or for that matter, you were in the military and you used firefighting foam, well, there's a firefighting foam that has been determined to be carcinogenic, and there are some major cancers that are attributed to the use of this foam. You may qualify for a claim if you are a first responder or a military member using firefighting foam. Here's how you find out. Just call Riley and Jackson. They're based in Birmingham, but they operate statewide. Riley and Jackson, here's their number, 205-879-5000. That's 205-879-5000. Just talk to them, free call. You'll talk to a real person. These are friends of mine, by the way. I know these folks personally. I've worked with them on cases. I've worked with them on issues, let's put it that way. And they're not just good on law. They're good on politics, if you know what I mean. But yeah, Riley and Jackson, they will tell you if you have a case. They won't get paid unless they get a claim for you. Here's their number again, one more time, 205-879-5000. And here's that disclaimer. You ready? No representation made. The quality of legal service before was greater than the quality of legal service before other lawyers. Bam. I don't know how I do that fast. My lips, let's keep on moving. Let me shift gears here. We're going into number two of the triple dipper, Spendorama. So, what we're looking at right now is this. You've got a 4,155-page piece of legislation. It's so big that literally it took a cart to wheel it into the room. 4,155 pages. In order to properly get that thing vetted, every member of the U.S. Senate has to have a copy for their office. 4,155 pages. There's a potential they could vote on it as early as today. When did they get it? Today's Wednesday. They got it yesterday morning. Yesterday morning, and they're looking at 4,155 pages that did not travel through committee processes and get vetted along the way. No. It was put together by a handful of individuals in the U.S. Senate, and it was dropped on U.S. senators' offices. It had to be wheeled in by carts. 4,155 pages, $1.7 trillion, a spendorama is potentially underway right now in D.C. Why are we doing this right now? I saw Representative Kevin McCarthy, who is potentially going to be the next Speaker of the House, on one of the Fox shows last night. I forgot which one he was on. But he was basically saying, it was Laura Ingraham. He said, why are we doing this? And by the way, big story today on FoxNews.com online was that McCarthy has fully broken with McConnell on this. McCarthy is like having none of it. I don't know if McCarthy is going to be the Speaker of the House. Right now, he more than likely is. But I will say this. I question his leadership. I question some things about him being the next Speaker. But nonetheless, I appreciated what he was saying. In this particular context, he was saying, why are we doing this? He said, if we go forward with this, if McConnell joins with Schumer and has Shelby, our own Shelby, and Murkowski, and who else were the Romney, Susan Collins, I mean, the usual suspects, right? If those join with Schumer and they get the bill passed, all we've done is allow in the last 2 weeks of a lame duck session, because they're about to go home for Christmas, by the way. The Senate's not going to be in session much longer for this year. They could pass the usual CR, a continuing resolution, which I'm not a fan of. But in this case, I would take it, because what it does is it says, hey, you know what, Republicans, you just won the House. Why should we put you in the position of having to live with the Democrat agenda all of next year, because that's what they're doing. They're passing a budget that would be in place all of next year. It is filled with pork. It is filled with major big spending and earmarks. It's, by the way, it's also filled up with liberal agendas. Why is McConnell doing this? Who in God's name knows? But what are some things that are in that bill? Story here on Fox Business dated yesterday. Several eye-popping spending items in the $1.7 trillion omnibus bill. Well, what kind of things are we talking about? Well, for one, you've got, where'd it go? One provision states that not less than $575 million should be made available for family planning and reproductive health, including in areas where population growth threatens biodiversity or endangered species. What? You know what that is? That's Planned Parenthood kind of stuff. That's gobbledygook speak for abortion. $575 million to control population growth, basically. And that's what it says, including in areas where population growth threatens biodiversity. What they're talking about is putting $575 million into, quote-unquote, planning and reproductive health in areas where population growth threatens biodiversity or endangered species, meaning the environment's so important that if there's too many people there, we got to put more money into abortion in those areas. $575 million. That is unconscionable to me. How about this? In another section, the behemoth bill requires $410 million for border security, but not here in the Middle East. Border security in Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Tunisia, and Oman. Oh, there you go. But just so you know, we do have some money in there for Customs and Border Patrol. However, Representative Dan Bishop from North Carolina, he pointed out that it is clearly stated that it expressly prohibits Customs and Border Protection funding in this omnibus bill from being used to improve border security in the U.S. But it does give, how much was that in the other article? $410 million for border security in Middle Eastern countries. I guess their borders are more important. That's what I take from that. What's really maddening, though, is you're looking at this and you're saying, not only are we advancing the Democrat agenda for another year, despite the fact that we just narrowly won the House, but we're also saying, hey, by the way, y'all just live with it. Yeah, we got you the 4,155-page bill yesterday. We know you haven't had time to read it, but we expect you to vote on it. Everybody get in line, be good little men and women in the Senate, and let's get it done. It also, by the way, contains, Boomer, do you know what pollinator-friendly practices on roadsides are?
I'm not too sure. Pollinator-friendly
road practices on roadsides.
Practices on roadsides.
Well, they got $3 million for that.
Oh.
It's to plant flowers by the sides of the highway that help bees.
Really?
That's
$3 million.
I kid you not. $3 million. Now, $3 million is a drop in a bucket for
right.
a $1.7 trillion.
But
you can find that in the
million.
Couch cushions in D.C. But hey, say it again. What? I'm sorry.
But still $3
million. It is $3 million. You and I could do a lot for Right Side Radio with $3 million.
That's right.
Daggum. By the way, you'll be happy to know that $3.6 million is being outlined or earmarked for a project called the Michelle Obama Trail in Georgia. That's key. How about $65 million with necessary expenses associated with the restoration of Pacific salmon? Okay. Listen, it goes on and on like this. So I got, first of all, philosophically, I'm opposed to the idea of this level of deficit spending. Philosophically, I'm also opposed to the idea of this much pork. I recognize there's things that are going to be in a bill that benefit one state over another. Everybody wants their thing. But good Lord, the level of earmarking in this piece of legislation is beyond the pale. I also, by the way, though, philosophically opposed to saying, hey, we won the election, but we don't care. We're going to let soft, squishy centrist Republicans decide to go ahead and side with the Democrats to get the Democrat agenda pushed forward. I'm not sure why Mitch McConnell is the Senate minority leader. Why is he the majority leader if he's going to help? Just go ahead and say you're a Democrat, sir. Let's call it done. What does our own Tuberville say? So Tommy Tuberville, and I haven't found what exactly he said. He was on the news today. I looked up and realized they were interviewing him on Fox News on the big screen here in the studio. I got to find out what his latest comments were. He did go on my buddy Jeff Poor's show just a couple of days ago. Story came out this morning on 1819 News. Tuberville says the $1.7 trillion spending package is a monstrosity, and he rips the fact that it includes $47 billion for Ukraine. Members of Congress have now had more than 24 hours, get with it, people, to review the language of a $1.7 trillion spending package. It's got a December 23rd deadline attached to it. Why? Because the government runs out of funding, allegedly, in 2 days. So what are they going to do? They could pass a CR, a continuing resolution. But no, right now, they're going to go ahead and work their way forward on as much of this $1.7 trillion as they can, even though it includes population control and the Michelle Obama trail and things like that. And never mind that nobody's had a chance to read it. Tuberville said Democrats are in control. He says for whatever reason, people across the country voted for their control for two more years. No, sir, not really. Not in the House. So what I'm saying is this. It is time to step back and be a leader, Mitch McConnell. Although he's not listening to the show. Why am I saying that? All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back and sort of wrap up some information about this because, boy, I tell you what, they are excoriating Richard Shelby right now in the conservative press. I'll tell you about that and why when we get back. And then top of the hour, the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, Senator Richard Shelby has been known to be a conservative at times, to be a moderate most times, I would say. He has certainly been in office for a long time, but he's also he's been in an extremely powerful position, a major player on the Senate Appropriations Committee. Well, conservative media, in this case, I've got a story from Breitbart. Conservative media has been calling him out right now because of what we're seeing with the level of pork spending that he's put in. And by the way, you know, I get it. And on the one hand, I'm glad to see Alabama may get some things, but at what cost? So here's the story. The largest number of earmarks in the entire $1.7 trillion bill is $656 million worth by Senator Richard Shelby as he leaves office. It's a gift. It's the thanks for your time. You're retiring, so put you a bunch of stuff in there that you can go have your name put on a building. That's what's happening. I mean, it's everything from $13 million for the town of Abbeville to extend their, you know, airport runway, $26 million for the Tuscaloosa National Airport runway. You got $100 million for a bridge. You've got $200 million for the state port. You've got $200 million for the state port. $50 million for a revolving loan fund to benefit the city of Mobile. That's interesting. $35 million for Marion Military Institute, which is a private school, by the way. $45 million just for the University of Alabama at Tuscaloosa, undesignated, although I also see $76 million for the UAB School of Medicine, and $50 million for University of Alabama, again, for a permanent endowment fund to support the recruitment and retention of faculty. Wow. Wow. $35 million for Spring Hill College, which I also believe is a private school. $35 million. It goes on and on. These are all things that got put into the bill by Senator Richard Shelby as he leaves office. And I'm telling you right now, I think it was Larry Kudlow who came out the other day on Tucker Carlson, I believe, and just excoriated. He said basically Senator Shelby is ruining any potential conservative record he has. I don't think he cares. Other things that are in that bill, though, like, for instance, did you know, Postmillennial's reporting this one, although I've also got a story on Fox, $7.5 million set aside for LGBTQ projects in Biden's massive spending bill. I kid you not. A whopping $7.5 million have been earmarked for LGBTQ projects such as the LGBTQIA+ Pride Centers and the American LGBTQ+ Museum in New York City. Well, that's important. Then there's $750,000 in there for LGBT and gender nonconforming housing in Albany, New York. Housing. $750,000 for LGBT and gender nonconforming housing. What in God's name does that even mean? How about this? There's a further $1 million going to an organization called Zora's House in Ohio. It's a co-working and community space for women and gender-expansive people of color. Boomer, you and your cis white male, just don't say anything.
I'm just going to sit over here with my hands crossed.
You're just a cis white male.
I'm just a cis white male.
You're the lowest strata of society, a cis white male. Oh. There's also $2 million in there to build the Great Blacks in Wax Museum in Baltimore. Blacks in Wax. I mean, clever name, but wow. Okay, so that's all in this bill. Well, just so you know, there are people pushing back, and I don't know to what degree they're going to be able to accomplish the pushback, but I appreciate the fact that they're saying something at least. So Representative Chip Roy, who I admire, a member of the House Freedom Caucus, a group of 13 GOP House lawmakers on Monday vowed to retaliate against their Republican colleagues in the Senate who vote for the massive omnibus spending package before the lame duck Democrat Congress expires. Story here on National Review. We are obliged to inform you, they said in a letter, that if any omnibus passes in the remaining days of this Congress, we will oppose and whip opposition to any legislative priority of those senators who vote for this bill, including the Republican leader. They're calling out McConnell directly. They go on to say that they will oppose any rule, any consent request, any suspension voice vote, any roll call vote of any such Senate bill, and they will otherwise do anything in their power to thwart even the smallest legislative or policy efforts of those senators. Senate Republicans, they say, have the 41 votes necessary to stop this bill and should do so now and show the Americans who elected you that they were not wrong in doing so. Anyway, that's where we are right now. It's a spend-o-rama, literally. It's a feeding frenzy right now. How much can we get? How much can we get? How much can we get? And that's what we're looking at. I'll just be honest. I find this to be almost disheartening as you watch what they're doing. And truthfully, when you see them voting on this legislation, you have to wonder, are they really the people they said they were? I mean, has McConnell just gone ahead and said, yeah, you know, it says Republican, but I'm an independent man. I do whatever I feel like. That's how it feels. That's exactly how it feels. There is a complete lack of control right now on spend. We're seeing some things happening for the good on the social policy issues. But when it comes to the fiscal conservatism, the idea of, you know, spending within your means, or at the very least trying to reduce the current level of debt and spend, we're not seeing that at all. And there is zero reason, y'all, zero. Zero reason why McConnell should so completely disrespect McCarthy and the House, who just won their election when he didn't. And I, you know, somebody pointed out, and by the way, my text line has blown up, just completely blown up. I'm going to have to get back to some of these texts here in a little while, Booms. But somebody pointed out that they had a quote from McConnell in the past saying that he prefers to stay in the minority because it's just easier. Well, you got that. It's just easier when you don't actually have to govern. I remember guys in Montgomery who were not saying they wanted to go back, but when the Republicans finally took back the Alabama State House in 2010, there were those guys who had been down there kind of holding the fort in the minority, and they said that literally it was easier. All you had to do was kind of stand up and fight. But when we won the majority, they had to start governing. Well, right now, McConnell is choosing not to govern. He is a de facto Democrat at the moment. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.